We have been talking about Jesus. That's no surprise in church, but who Jesus is. And last week we took a look at the fact that before the world was created, before time, space, and matter existed, Jesus was. He existed. And we talked about the fact that Jesus is the physical, the $5 word for it is, he's the physical manifestation of the unknowable, unseeable, unhearable God. So God, in his natural form, is not a human. I think we probably all know that. But when God becomes like a human, when he takes on a physical, something you can touch, feel, hear, when he takes on that form, we are looking at Jesus. That's who it is. Well, this week we're going to spend a few minutes talking about where Jesus was between the time that he created everything and that he was born to Mary. So last week was before everything was created, Jesus was. Well, okay, great. Where was he from that point when God said, "Let there be," and when Mary gave birth to him? Did Jesus just like hang out in his recliner and watch things and wait and then say, "Okay, now it's my turn"? We're going to see this week that that's not quite what took place. We're going to be in John chapter 8. And if you have your Bibles, you can use that, and we'll have it up here on the screen too. Jesus and the disciples are in Jerusalem during a festival. And Jesus is teaching. And while he's teaching, he's saying some things that make the Pharisees, those are like the religious elite, the guys who think they know everything, Jesus says some things that makes them angry. Go figure. So here's what, we're coming into this conversation in the middle of it. Jesus has just said some stuff about Abraham, who is like the father of the Jews. And here's where we come in. John chapter 8, verses 54 through 59. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But if you have not known him, I know him. If I were to say that I don't know him, I would be a liar like you." Those are fighting words. Just want to let you know. He's poking the bear a little bit there. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. This is really important right here. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, the people that are standing around listening to Jesus say all these things, those people said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Like, you're not even 50, but you have seen and talked to a guy that died like 1,500 years ago? Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly," meaning he's like, for real, "I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So those people picked up stones to throw at Jesus, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. A lot of fun stuff happened here. Jesus said, before Abraham was alive, I am. And he was happy to see me. Jesus said, "Abraham, thank you so very much. Abraham was thrilled to see me." And the Jews said, "You're not even 50 years old. You have got to be crazy." But is Jesus crazy? No. Let's pray. God, what we want is for you to take the words you've given us in the Bible and show us what they mean and how they impact our lives so that we can become like you. It's in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. This festival that Jesus and the Jews are at is called the Festival of Tabernacles. It's a week-long celebration. And this conversation that we've just read takes place. It's a part of a bigger conversation. Here's what the Festival of Celebration is. Back in the Old Testament, when God showed that He was present in the lives of His people, He did that by this big, bright, fiery light. After the Israelites were freed from slavery, like they built the temple, and God came down, and His presence was seeable and hearable through this big, bright light. They said the fire, the light of God, shined in the whole temple. And while they were traveling from the wilderness, through the wilderness, to the place God promised them, at night, when it was dark and they couldn't see their way, they were led by a big, bright, fiery light. So the Festival of Tabernacles celebrated the presence of God showing up as a big, bright light. And every night of the festival, they would have a celebration that involved big lights. And during that celebration, just before we read this, they're talking about, they're celebrating the festival of these lights, and Jesus says to them, "I am the light of the world." So they're celebrating God's presence as the big bright light that shows them the way. And Jesus says, "I am that light." When you saw the light, that was me. Then he comes to this conversation about Abraham, and they're like, "You're crazy." He's like, "Who do you think talked to Abraham? Abraham rejoiced to see me. And even before Abraham was, I am." And then the people hearing him got upset, obviously. He said, there are a few of these I am statements in the Bible. Another one's kind of popular. The disciples were crossing the sea. Big storm came up. They thought they were going to die. And they see this thing coming across the water. And they say, "Oh no, what is this?" They're like, "Is that a ghost?" And they hear a voice that says, "Don't be afraid. I am." Jesus says this quite a few different times. The physical representation of God says, "I am." When the Jews heard Jesus say this, they're like, they instantly, because they were scholars of the Torah, when he said, "I am," they had other instances where that word was spoken. One of the most famous was when Moses was hanging out in the wilderness and he sees this bush that looks like it's on fire because there's this big bright light, but it's not being burned up. So Moses came up to the bush and said, "Who are you?" Bigger conversation, but he said, "Who should I tell the people that you are?" And the answer is, "I am." Jesus told the Jews, "You know Abraham?" They're like, "Hold on a second." Like, there was a voice from heaven that told Abraham to move. "Leave your land, I'll take you somewhere else." There was a voice from heaven that told Abraham, fun, big, crazy story, but it ended up with Abraham getting ready to sacrifice his son. And this voice said, "Stop." Then Moses. So we talked about Moses saw the bush. After that, Moses like, "God, please just let me see you." And God's like, "You can't handle me." But I'll let you see the back of me. So Moses was up on the mountain, and the backside of God passed through, and Moses saw a physical manifestation of God, and it was incredibly awesome. And then there are these, there are a whole bunch of them. I'm just going to show you one more. There are these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were slaves. And this king built this huge idol and said, everybody's going to bow down and worship this idol, and if not, I'll kill you. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will only serve God. And the king said, fine, you're dead. So he tied them up and threw them into the fire. And while they were in the fire, the king, who did not believe in God, looked into the fire and said, didn't I throw three people in there? But I see a fourth, and he's like a son of God. So this man who did not believe in God is looking on the situation and says, there's someone else in there that is a God. And as Jesus tells the Jews, before Abraham was, I am, these situations come back to them where the God of the universe spoke or moved or was visible. There are a bunch of them. Just give you a snapshot. What he was saying was, my first appearance on earth was not when I was born to Mary. This is so much fun. We have the problem of thinking that, you know, Jesus became alive when Mary birthed him. Like, that's when he started. And that's not when he started. Jesus was actually present. He showed up throughout the Old Testament. He was the voice to Moses. He was the voice to Abraham. He was the backside, like this part, not just his bottom, but, you know, the whole back that Moses saw. Like, Jesus tells the Jews, that was me. And they're like, you're crazy. It's like, nope. I've been here the whole time. I have been with you the entire time. Their response was, let's kill him. They didn't like what they heard. An example would be like, if I had this really cool superpower and I could become invisible, that'd be so much fun. Probably not. So I could walk around, and without you knowing it, I could make things happen. I could rearrange things, and you wouldn't see me rearranging them. You would just like walk into your room someday, and you're like, who put that there? That's exactly what I needed. And I'd be like, good job, Ben. I could be invisible and do things and you not see me do it, but it would impact your life. Or sometimes you could be having a really crummy day and you could be sitting there talking to yourself like, I don't even know why I try. And I could sneak up and you wouldn't see me, but I can say, I love you. You're important. Don't give up. And you're like, who's that? And then at other times when you feel like you're so lonely and you need all direction, I'd be like, see me? Now here's what I want you to do. Got it? Great. That's what God did throughout the Old Testament. There are qualities that became tangible when his people needed them. But Jesus said this to the people that were listening to him, and they're like, no way. Let's kill him. The problem that these Pharisees faced is that they had a prescribed way that they wanted God to work. This is who God is, and this is how we expect him to work. And Jesus came and said, well, actually, you're a little off. Here's how things are. And they were so set in their ways of who they wanted God to be, that they could not or would not hear who he actually was. How can people who study the law of God and read so many accounts of God working miss the fact that he's now standing right in front of them telling them something new? Part of the problem was that to the Jews, they felt like Jesus was saying something new. And God doesn't do things that are new. We have our standards and our traditions, and this is how God is worshiped because that's the way it's always been, so this is how it is. And Jesus came and said, I need you to head this direction. And they're like, nope, you can't be God. What the Jews forgot is that when God came to Moses in the burning bush, there hadn't been a burning bush before. That was new. God showed himself in a new way to people. By the time Jesus came and lived here, those religious people were like, well, yeah, that's what God did, because it had become routine for them. But at one point, that was new. When God spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to pack up your stuff, and I'm not telling you where you're going, but I just want you to go, and when you get there, I'll let you know. That was new to Abraham. Actually, his name was Abram at that time. But the Pharisees and the religious leaders by Jesus' time were so used to, well, that's just the way we do it. That's how God works. They forgot that that thing back then was new at the time. And then I take a look at my own life and I say, well, is it possible that I can become like these Jews? I develop my own prescribed way that God works because that's what I think he did then. And since he did it that way then my expectation is from now until he returns, he just better keep on doing it that way. And even if God's standing right in front of me and telling me, all right, I'm here and I'm doing something new again, I don't believe it. That's not God, because that's who God is. That's who I want him to be, because that makes me feel good. Like the Pharisees had built their entire lives off of following these rules and making sure everything's in order. What they did was they were comforted in the fact that they were so smart. They went around and patrolled people during the week. They went around and made sure everybody was following all the rules. And then on Sunday, on the Sabbath, it was Saturday for them, they came back to the temple and worshiped God. They had an entire life system built around this. And then Jesus came and said, I need you to shift gears here. Rather than worshiping me in the temple and then going around and being the judge to all these people the rest of the week, what I want you to do is, while you're out there with them, instead of telling them how sinful they are, why don't you help them first? That's what Jesus did. He went out and said, what is your need? How can I solve your need? And now that I have your attention, now that I have met you where you are and I have your attention, here's what God wants from you. Well, this bugged the snot out of the Pharisees, because that's not how God works. That's not how we want him to work. People were supposed to come to the temple to worship God. It's the only place. And Jesus said, no, actually, you are supposed to be the temple that goes to them and takes healing to them. But they were so stuck on who they wanted God to be, they couldn't see that God was asking them to do something. He was right in front of them, but they wouldn't listen. So I look at myself and I say, do I have some of those same boxes that I put God in? This is how I like to worship God. This is how I like God to be. And I'm comfortable as long as God is like this. And I get so focused on what makes Ben comfortable when he's learning about God that I ignore or refuse to listen to God when he says, well, I'm really glad you're comfortable, but I'm going to break your box down a little bit here and build you a new one. Like, well, I don't want that. There are times in our lives when God looks at us and he says, hey, I'm right here in front of you. And you've been doing it this way for a long time. But I want to do something new. And when God says, I want to do something new, what do I say? I'm usually like, well, can you give me all of the details and promise me that it'll all work out nicely? Can you make sure that I'll be comfortable and my feelings won't get hurt? And can you make sure that, you mean I'm going to have to change a little bit? Like, no, not going to happen. Because you know, God, this is how you made me. I mean, you've made me this way, and this is how I've always been, so this is how I'm going to be. So if you're going to do something with me, you have to do it with the me that's right here, right now, because this is how I've always been, so it's the way I'll always be. Sometimes we do that to God. Like, if you're going to do something, then you need to accommodate me the way I am right now. We do this to our friends, our spouses, our kids. Well, this is just the way that I am. If you don't like it, go tell somebody else. Deal with it. And every time we say, well, this is just the way that I am, there's a good possibility that God might be saying, hey, I have something new for you. And we're like, nope, not going to do it. Unfortunately, sometimes in the church world, we get that way too. This is how we worship God. Two new songs, two hymns, then we pray. Then we take the offering. Then we dismiss the kids. Then we listen to Ben talk for 25 to 30 minutes. And as long as you're willing to work with us like this, God, we're good. But that's how you have to work, because that's what makes me feel good. Makes me feel good, like I'm comfortable. And God says, well, as long as you're comfortable, then I'm happy. Like, that's ridiculous to think that God's goal in life is to make sure that I get everything I want. Could be a time when God says, hey, I know that this is how comfortable feels, but there are people out there that you're not reaching. So like he told the Pharisees, why don't you go out to them and you'll find out that that is actually how you worship me, is by taking hope and encouragement to people, rearranging your life so that you become what they need. Then you get into crazy talk. Then churches start splitting. It's not going to happen here. But that happens. When some people are willing to say, God, what do you want? And other people say, well, that's not going to happen because that's not what makes me comfortable. Then we get these divisions. Just like with the Jews, there are some people who heard this and said, oh, now I get it. The Apostle Paul, who wrote quite a big chunk of the New Testament, first he was one of those people who said, never going to do it. Then Jesus said, hey, Paul, you're killing me here. Literally, that's what he said. You're killing me. And Paul did a complete 180. Oh, you're doing something new? Count me in. There becomes divisions among people who say, well, if it's not done this way, I'm not going to do it. And people who say, well, God, if you're doing something new, what do we need to do to reach people? I'm preaching this for a reason. Because I am fully convinced that God has something new for us. I don't even know what it is. To be quite honest, I don't know all the details. But I do know that I have become so comfortable worshiping God like this that I'm happy. And when my focus becomes, well, Ben's happy, I automatically know something's wrong. Because worshiping God is not about Ben being happy. That's not the focus. It is a result of when I spend time praying or I spend time playing and asking God, teach me, a result is peace. But when I say peace is my birthright, there's a problem. For us as a church, we are going together to say, God, there are people out there who need us. We've gotten comfortable right where we are, but there's something new you're wanting to do, and you're asking us to rearrange how we worship you. I don't know all the details, but if you are so obviously standing right in front of me saying, I am right here, that was me, this is me now, I don't want to be so arrogant that I ignore. As a church, we are shifting our focus. We're not arrogant. We're not full of ourselves, but I can still not be arrogant. I can be kind, but not focused or driven. Jesus told the Pharisees, that was me all along, but this is me right now. And they refused to listen. But we are saying, that's what you were doing then, and now here you're doing something new. And we will be like the people that heard and believed. God, whatever you want us to do, we'll even rearrange our lives to make this happen. That's who we are. That's where we're going. So that other people who don't yet believe in God, the people who have no peace in their homes, the people who still yell, this is last year at Christmas. I remember last year, the week of Christmas, I heard a couple screaming at each other in town. And I thought, how can you be so miserable at the greatest time of the year? Like, that happens in my neighborhood and in your neighborhoods. What can God do so that we can go to them and bring them hope? It'll require some rearrangement. But I'm willing to say, God, rearrange my life however much you want so that I will obey you and you can reach new people. I'm not going to be a Pharisee who says, well, if you don't do it my way, then I'm not going to listen. I'm going to be someone who says, if that's you speaking, then I will obey. And that's what we are as a church. I'm confident of that. It's what I love about us, is once we see a need, we get on board and we go together. That's who Jesus wants us to be. So, two things from this morning. Jesus was the burning bush. Jesus was the voice to Abraham. And Jesus was the man who stood in front of the Pharisees and said, I am. He's always been. And then there came a point where he said, I'm going to hang out here for a while so you'll really understand how much I love you. And now I want you to go hang out with those people so they will really understand how much I love them. That's our responsibility. And as a church, over the next 24 months, we're going to learn how to do that together. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us a wonderful day. I'm glad that we have friends that we get to celebrate your birth with. Help us as a church to see you for who you are today and to listen. Whatever you want to do in my own life, if you will tell me so that I understand, I will do it. And if you will tell us as a church, we agree to do that. We will go wherever you want and do whatever you want us to do. Because we want to obey you. so that other people will know your love. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we can say, amen. All right, today's a good day. We have our children's training, hanging of the greens. If you're doing hanging of the greenings and didn't bring any lunch, I'll order some pizza, okay? Let's do that. But have a good week, and we'll see you Wednesday night, if not, for our movie.